Wednesday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintech studio, the mobile Kintech studio, for the first time in nearly a month. Show back on the road here at Rogers Arena. Kintech Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. Yes, the last time we were here at Rogers Arena for a Canucks game, it was pre-Four Nations face-off. The Canucks were putting the finishing touches on a strong close to the pre-Four Nations face-off schedule. Brock Besser scored the winner against the Toronto Maple Leafs. They went 6-1-1, 3-0-1 without Quinn Hughes in the lineup at that time, and things felt so positive. Yeah, they've been 1-4 since.
Yeah, and it's like reality set in, right? It's like you got off the high of the trades and the newness, even without Quinn Hughes, and it gave you some hope. Four Nations break happened.
Yeah.
And then reality set in.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is that actually the reality that Canucks are facing, because there's no Quinn Hughes yet again? And we are wondering where the Canucks are headed ahead of the deadline, whether they're holding on to players for a playoff push. That seems, you know, less and less futile, more and more futile by the day.
It's a big game tonight against the Anaheim Ducks, who put the boots to Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers last night. 6-2 was the final. And Anaheim trying to climb the standings after they got their win over Vancouver last week. Still on the fringes of this Western Conference Turtle Derby, but with a win over the Canucks tonight, can be within 2 points of Vancouver and inching closer to a spot, with Calgary now in the lead for that second wild card spot on 67 points.
You know, the Canucks did invite the Ducks back in.
Yep.
And the Ducks had another big win last night, you mentioned, over Edmonton. So all of a sudden, they're there. They're only four back of Vancouver. They're in the race.
They are.
I don't think they're going to make the postseason. Ultimately, I think they'll have their issues, but they're in the race right now. And I think that's been part of the issue here with Vancouver. They're still in the race, but they're in the race with like five other teams.
Yeah. You've got Anaheim at 61 points, Utah at 63, St. Louis on 64, Canucks on 63, and Calgary on 67 points. So, yeah, it's very much a turtle derby of a race, but it's a tight race between a lot of teams right now, and the Canucks got to start putting more games into the win column. We'll get to more of the game discussion a little bit later on, but we've got a very busy show. Kevin Woodley is going to join us after 4:30. Overrated, underrated, plus Jarmo Kekäläinen will join us. Ex-GM of the Columbus Blue Jackets, was just with Team Finland for the Four Nations face-off. He'll join us coming up at 5:30. Officially, the pregame show will start at 6:30, as it is a 7:30 puck drop for tonight's game at Rogers Arena. Let's hit it. It's the open on Canuck Central.
Welcome to the open.
Oh, that's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me.
The open on Canuck Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. The latest being the trade deadline continues to draw closer, as it is now. Less than 48 hours away from the trade deadline coming into the league and all trades being halted for the season. We saw a big move today. The Tampa Bay Lightning doing their business. We talked about this with Frank Saravalli yesterday. Like, there they are, just like looming in the background, never afraid to pay a big price for whatever it is they've targeted. They are bringing back Yanni Gourde from the Seattle Kraken, and also acquiring Oliver Bjorkstrand. It costs them a couple of first-round picks, a second-round draft choice. There's a ton of retention going on from both Seattle and Detroit. Got in on a fourth-round pick to retain some of Gourde's salary as well to make it all work for Tampa. But it's another sign of, okay, to do early business here ahead of Friday, it's been pretty expensive to get some acquisitions in for the contending team set.
Yeah, and it looks like if you're a seller, you're in a really good spot, especially if you have capable players that can play in your top six, can be top four defensemen. There is real value. And these are traditional trade deadline prices. Like a first-round pick goes for, you know, one of the top centers. And Yanni Gourde is or was one of the top centers on the trade market. And we know in the postseason how valuable he can be. You saw how well he played for Tampa back in the day and even for Seattle a couple years back, right? So he's a guy that's going
he's
to...
He's coming off an injury, you know. He's almost into his mid-30s.
Have you watched him play this year, though? And when he's healthy, the guy's still a horse.
Last night, he was good.
Yeah,
you know?
Yanni, as long as Yanni Gourde can skate,
yeah,
I think he's going to be a dog, right? Yeah. And that's how he plays. So I think he's going to help the team out. Bjorkstrand, and the thing about Tampa is we're not talking about them getting top six players to play on their power play. Brandon Hagel has 30 goals, and he has them all like on even strength.
Hasn't scored one power play goal this year.
Yeah, so it's not a situation where they need to get somebody to play on their power play. What they need to find are guys that can be contributors to their lineup but also be able to score a little bit. Now, Yanni Gourde can be that matchup guy for them, but Bjorkstrand's a type of 5-on-5 player with speed, decent defensively, can pot 20-25 goals a year, who bolsters your lineup. And now, all of a sudden, they have a deeper lineup. My only question about them is, are they deep enough on the back end?
Yeah.
I know Darren Radish has had a strong year offensively. Maybe, you know, you feel good enough about what he can bring. But do you feel like you need one more defenseman?
Yeah.
Are you happy enough with guys like J.J. Moser and Nick Perbix and, you know, Emil Lilleberg? Those guys are playing, you know, 6-7 roles on that team right now. Do you need somebody else in your top four? But like we discussed with Frank, too, and we've been talking about this throughout the year, every single team has flaws. There isn't a single team in the league that's going to be perfect heading into the postseason.
They never really replaced Mikhail Sergachev after trading him to Utah in the summer. J.J. Moser was a part of that package. He's played pretty well for them this year. They got back Ryan McDonough, who has been pretty good for them, right? Yeah. He's still a solid veteran defenseman, but you're right. Like if it's going to come down to it, especially after Florida added Seth Jones to their group, we know Carolina's got a really deep decor. They still maybe have a question or two there on the back end, but you know what fascinates me about Tampa and. Look, you can look at the price paid and be like, wow, that's two first-round picks. I can't believe they paid that. Yeah, everybody said the same thing when they traded that for Brandon Hagel. Mm. How's it working out for him?
Yeah.
They did two first-rounders, I think, for Blake Coleman as well.
Yeah.
And how's that working out for them? Pretty good.
It was
did
the Canucks' first-round
really well.
Pick, at least. That they moved.
Sorry, it was a first-round pick for Blake Coleman and a first-round pick for Barkley Goodrow. And people were like, what are they paying these prices for on these guys? And Coleman broke out with them, and then Goodrow was just a solid bottom-six player. And, hey, you're not complaining after you win a couple of cups with that. So, you know, it really is a sign of extreme confidence in their pro scouting and their ability to identify fits for their team. Mm-hmm. And be like, you know what? These are the guys that we think help us the most of what's available on the market right now. And we're going to pay whatever price it's going to take for us to get them. Obviously, within reason. But they're not scared of paying a high price to get the players that they really believe are going to help their roster out.
No, and it's helped them win. And honestly, when we talk about draft picks anyways, especially for teams that are in win-now windows, what are you legitimately getting with late first round pick and second round draft picks? You're probably getting somebody who helps you in 4 or 5 years. And we'll get Yarmo's take on this, but when you look at these prospects too, like we're talking about when you draft a guy, unless you hit it big, and the guys you hit big on usually are drafted way higher.
Yeah.
But if you do hit lightning, get lightning in a bottle, the chances of that happening are like 5% or something. We're talking about the very minuscule chances that the guys that step in and help you within 2 or 3 years of being drafted. Usually it takes at least 5 to 6 years.
Yeah.
For them to become contributors for you at the NHL level. So if you're on a team that has Kucherov and has Braden Point and has Victor Hedman, and these guys are at least on Kucherov and Hedman into the latter parts of their careers, and this is your window, these draft picks are completely overrated as far as draft and development. You need to draft and develop for sure, have guys coming through your ranks, and to give them credit, they are pulling guys out still. Like, look at Perbix. You know, they got Radish back in a trade, for instance, on the lower end, and he's become a player for them. So they're still finding guys within the margins to help them cheaply and play important roles for them. But that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
As long as you're in a win-now window. And yes, if you're a team that's in a rebuild, sure, you value those picks. But the reality is these draft picks take forever. And that's something the Canucks are confronted with here. Sure, they need to draft.
Yeah.
They need to, you know, add to the prospect pool. But with Quinn Hughes the next couple of years, it's about finding ways to win now. And how valuable is it for you to stockpile and draft guys in the late first round and in the second round, or is it more valuable for you to flip those guys for players in their 20s?
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear that they aren't overly eager to move their own first-round pick, but if they're able to add another one, then they're more willing to move that, as they did with the pick they got for JT Miller, as they did with the pick that they got for Bo Horvat. Maybe if they get a pick for Brock Besser, they eventually use that to bring in something else as well, because there's a couple of things. When you're the Canucks, you know, your chances of landing a player in free agency aren't as high as maybe some American markets. We know that for basically every Canadian team. That's a pretty standard thing that you have to think about when going into free agency. You're either overpaying or generally you are not getting that player. It's not a blanket statement, but it's pretty fair when you think about it on average. And that's why, you know, when I look at what the Canucks are trying to do here and sort of balance this tightrope as they go and try to build around Quinn Hughes, it's a very difficult spot and one that's only getting more difficult, but it could help if you add a couple more assets in here to be able to use that as, you know, use that as money when you go to the trade market this summer.
And I love the idea, if you're getting draft picks, to get picks in the 2026 or 2027 draft. Because I think those are the types of picks that will be more valuable for you in trade as the year goes on. And it gives you flexibility, too, because we know the picks themselves are usually more valuable than prospects. Teams value the picks more.
They like making their own pick.
Yeah, and it just carries a bit more value in trade transactions as well. So if you can get a couple picks in later drafts, that's really stockpiles, I think, you know, your trade chest, so to speak. And it puts you in a position this offseason where you don't have to find a trade by the draft. You can, you know, be flexible and let the offseason play out and you still have those assets for you. That's the type of draft pick I would love to get.
Yeah.
I'm not against getting good prospects or good young players that have value. It's all about, to me, adding assets. And if you're keeping Besser, fine. Sign them, keep them, you move on. But you're not in a position where these guys can walk for nothing, especially now with Quinn Hughes' situation being what it is. And short of Elias Pettersson miraculously finding his game, the odds are starting to stack against Vancouver ultimately making the postseason anyways.
Yeah.
So you have to make the smart decision and what's best for your organization long term. And I would hope that's what the team does. And I think, honestly, based on everything we've heard and as much as, you know, we hear about they want to make the postseason, I do truly believe they're very open to moving guys off this roster.
Yeah.
Like, I think they do see value in getting those assets for future trades.
They do have, beyond Besser as an unrestricted free agent, Pugh Suter, whose name has been quite hot on the trade market over the last 36 hours or so. Carson Soucy's name is still something that is possible ahead of Friday's deadline. And, you know, just looking, you mentioned Tampa could use another defenseman. I think there's a ton of teams that would love to add Derek Forbert, his penalty-killing prowess as a 6th or 7th type defenseman going into a playoff run if you are a contending team. So is that a huge asset you could get back for Forbert? Probably not. But I keep coming back to what Patrick Alvin said with Ian McIntyre, and it's, you know, we're still looking to build and get better. So, you know, if they see pieces, and I think this is the ongoing evaluation with Brock Besser, if they see pieces that are potentially part of the future, then those are ones that are going to be harder to pry away from Vancouver.
Yeah, well, and I think for Vancouver, like this year, we all know where this year is going.
Yeah.
It's not going to be the year. It's about how do you set yourself up for next season and beyond. But next season especially, like next year has to be a year where this team leaps back into looking like a contender again. That's how you keep Quinn Hughes, right?
Yeah.
So I think that has to be the chief concern for everybody here involved is how do we make this team as good as we can for next season? And given this team's ability to find players when they have assets, wouldn't you love to see them have some assets and go out and find those players? Like we talked about yesterday, too, the Canucks have this deadline, this offseason, and the next trade deadline.
Yeah.
These are the three points in which they can improve their teams dramatically here and really put themselves in a spot. And honestly, they have a really tough task ahead of them. The degree of difficulty, it's extremely high. And if you don't pick up some extra assets, that degree of difficulty gets even higher.
And that's, I mean, that goes without saying. It's it really is a situation that you're going to need some assets to go out on the trade market. Everybody's asking you for Jonathan Lekromäki and Tom Belander, and you don't necessarily want to trade those guys, right? So what else do you have from your prospect pool that really has interest around the league and interest enough to get you a player that can potentially be of impact to your roster? That is the question ultimately. And beyond that, you probably need some more assets in here to be able to shake and bake on the trade market in the future. So you think about, and I mentioned Jonathan Lekromäki, he is back up with the team. He is playing tonight. He practiced on a line with Philip Hedel and Drew O'Connor yesterday at practice with the Vancouver Canucks. Also potentially getting a look on the top power play unit again here for Vancouver. Is this the moment that we see Jonathan Lekromäki stick with the big club set?
Man, I honestly don't know the answer to that. But
seven goals in his last 11 AHL games.
But given where this team finds itself right now, and the fact that you need offense, and he's had a very successful run so far in the AHL, why not just give him the final 22 games here?
Yeah.
Just let him play out the season and see where it takes you. And let him go through the ups and downs. If he gets healthy, scratched a game or two for not playing well, let that happen.
Yeah.
If he gets, you know, doesn't play a lot for a few moments, that's fine. Go through those experiences. Isn't this the best time for him to go through those experiences right now?
Well, if you move Besser, I he's probably a lock to stay with the team for the rest of the year.
Yeah. But even so, I still would do it. I think this is the time where you just give him, what do you have to lose? You're barely scoring anyways, right?
I mean, we've seen... all due respect to R. Steve Baines and Linus Karlsson and those guys, and they've done a lot of work to develop their games and become, you know, guys that can credibly hold a spot in an NHL lineup for a few games, but you know, they haven't been able to produce. And sure, they don't get a ton of time when they're up here, but there's just a different feel with Lekromäki. And people are going to probably text in and be like, oh, is he going to win the Calder? all kidding aside, The shot is legit. We've seen it already at the NHL level. That's why he's been able to produce in his short amount of time in the AHL. His rookie year in the AHL as a very young player. These are all positive signs for Jonathan Lekromäki. I love the fact that he's been working a ton with the Sedins and really, you know, for guys that weren't, I mean, they were the among the fittest guys in the league when they really went into their prime. But they were never huge players, right? But they had so much smarts of the game of how to use leverage, how to win board battles, even if you're not the biggest guy in the battle. And Lekromäki's been doing a lot of work with the Sedins, and I want to see how that translates in this next little look here with the big club in the NHL.
I think the big question for me is going to be, do they feel like they need him for the playoff push in Abbotsford? And does that play a part into it, you know, for
what's how, more valuable for his development?
Yeah, and also organizationally, like, you know, how much is he going to help? You know, Abbotsford's, they've had a solid season, but it's not a great season, right? Yeah. Like, they've kind of been, you know, they've been over 500, but they've had some ups and downs, too. So maybe they see value in it. But I think from his development, from the opportunity that you now have, why not just give him a chance? And I think the kid is talented enough that he's going to take this year and turn it into something positive for next year. And when we compare where this team finds itself and the fact that as much as they need to go out and find make some moves, what they also need to find is somebody internally to be an answer for them next year.
Yeah.
Right? And I think this is a spot now where you can give them a head jump. You gave him a head start on doing that now and maybe set him up for success next season.
A couple of texts coming in. Reach is going Ricky Bobby for trade deadline day. Shake and bake, baby. Shake and bake. love me some Talladega Nights. Just shout out to Garrett T. Willie in the background, just absolutely shredding on the guitar for the last hour and a bit here at Rogers Arena.
Yeah, he's not leaving any stone unturned about turning it when it comes to setting a set list for tonight's show.
Is that Slash or Garrett T. Willie? He's been unbelievable on the guitar. Hope he's going to shred it a little bit more tonight against the Anaheim Ducks. This text is the Heedle Lekkermäki O'Connor line, the number one line starting next season. That's Jake in Nanaimo. Jake, while that line has some promise to it, I would hope that the Canucks add to their forward group and have a little bit more girth to their lineup so that O'Connor, Heedle, Lekkermäki is not their number one line.
Yeah, I mean, if that's, you know, your second line or maybe even third line, I feel a lot better about it.
Yeah. Maybe not your first line.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the Canucks Central Roundup. Canucks and Ducks tonight. Quinn Hughes is out. No real timeline on his return. It's a day-to-day process. Rick Tocchet alluding to that, you know, some days he's feeling better, some days he's not. But an ongoing process with Quinn Hughes does not sound promising, to say the least, with a heavy schedule all the way through to the end of the season. There was some interesting things said today about Brock Besser, and I mean, we've talked so much about Besser and his contract situation. It is what it is. Rick Tocchet today, and we talk about evaluating Besser and how he fits into the future of the Vancouver Canucks. Rick Tocchet had something interesting to say about that. Here he is from earlier today speaking about Brock Besser.
Let's face it, you know, him and Millsy had a lot of chemistry. Millsy drove a lot of play for him, so, you know, he transported the puck a lot. So, you know, right now we're trying to find, you know, complement Bess. You know, he's not a transporter. He's a guy that gets to the end, you know, that finish. So that's been a bit of a struggle. So I think sometimes Rock might have to change a little bit the way he plays to get more looks. I'd like to see him, you know, he's a really good tipper of pucks. He's really good in the slot. Sometimes I think he's been deferring for the outside one-timer shot. I think his gift is around the net. I think that's something that, you know, you'd like to see him do a little bit more of.
There is Rick Tocchet on Brock Besser. And, you know, something we've talked about, you know, Brock has struggled really since Miller has gone out the door. I think really since the turn of the calendar, and I know Miller has been a part of that a little bit. But Besser in all the games, it's over 20 games, just 4 goals, 7 assists since the calendar turned to 2025. And Rick Tocchet alluding to some of the issues Brock is trying to work through right now in his game.
Also an admission to what Brock isn't. And if you're looking to pay long term for a guy who needs somebody else to set him up and you're not quite sure if you have that fit on the team,
yeah,
you know, are you looking at square peg round hole?
Yeah.
Because Miller, him and Miller were great.
Well, that's kind of why I want to see him a little bit more with Heedle. I know they've tried it, and, hey, nothing really has been working for the offense lately, so why not try something different? But, you know, Heedle is a transporter, and Besser can potentially be that guy, but I'm not sure Heedle is the best playmaker either. So those are some contrasting issues with the roster right now. But an interesting thought there from head coach Rick Tocchet. The Ducks beat the Oilers 6-2 last night. Jackson Lacombe was a +5 while being matched up against Connor McDavid. So that's pretty good. And he absolutely dominated the Canucks last week as well. He's been he's looking like one of those defensemen that's really starting to take that step into jumping into that, hey, I can potentially be an actual number one defenseman here in this league. That's Jackson Lacombe right now.
Yeah, he's been really good, and I think he's probably one of the more underrated guys in the league that nobody really knows about. And if you watch him play your favorite team, you'll know about him pretty quickly. And watch him closely here tonight. If the Ducks turn it around quickly, it's because of guys like Jackson Lacombe. Like, these are the types of players that make a big-time impact for you, that give you real improvements as far as being a winning hockey team. It's great to have guys that can score, but guys that can shut down top lines,
yeah,
That's huge.
He's played tough minutes and has been a positive player for the Ducks all season long. Him and Radko Gudas forming a pretty good D pair for the Anaheim Ducks. Also, Mason McTavish had a couple of goals. Leo Carlson also scored, so the Ducks' young players really pushing the envelope. Vanacek was traded to the Panthers. We finally got some intel on that after it was started to be reported yesterday, so they got their backup goalie after trading away Spencer Knight to Chicago. Darren Dreger also mentioned that he's heard some whispers that Florida could be in on Brock Besser, which might be interesting looking ahead to Friday. Besser would fit in as probably like the fifth or sixth best forward on that Panthers team with how stacked they are.
Yeah, but, you know, they could probably use another guy that can score, especially with Tkachuk being injured and whatever his status is going to be for the postseason. And if you, when you look at their team last year, they would love to, I think, replace the Tarasenko type, have a guy down your lineup that can score, has a good shot, and Besser would kind of fit that mold.
Dreger also saying on Mikko Rantanen, Carolina basically canvassed the league this week, gauging the level of interest in Mikko Rantanen. So Carolina doing their due diligence in case they want to pull the trigger on a trade for Rantanen. Bad news for the New Jersey Devils. Jack Hughes out for the season after shoulder surgery. Coming up, we're going to get to Kevin Woodley, our goalie guru, joins us next on Canuck Central.